think it's important for the community at large not to turn a blind eye to the prisoners in Canada, and that we need love and hope and support for men who are coming out of prison, who are trying to start their life again and do it in a way that's going to promote healthy and positive lifestyle.
As was mentioned to me, you work with a halfway house, St. Leonard's. What are some of the services that you offer to people that are coming out of Canada's prison system?
Well, in terms of services, the support is number one. We strive to build positive, open, and honest relationships. I think that's key to helping men reestablish their lives. Number one is helping them with employment, helping them reestablish ties with family, just really giving them a solid foundation, you know, through the supports of St. Leonard's to, you know, begin a new life, really. That's what it's about.
What are some of the, I guess, barriers that exist for people when they leave the prison system? Why is it difficult for them to kind of get back into regular society?
Well, we all know about the stigma with prisoners that people, I think our media really paints a dark picture around recidivism and the negative aspects of people that have been in that situation. So we're trying to sort of dispel some of the myths around that. The barriers are real, and I think they're real because of society's views that that paints the dark picture and doesn't look at the positives. There, you know, we don't hear many stories about the changes that people have made in their lives. So at St. Leonard's House, we try to encourage through love and support. You know, it's the barriers are, they're vast. Their employment, their relationships, their just, you know, the honesty that it takes for somebody to really get out of the institutional mindset of survival and be real with themselves. You know, that's hard to do when you're faced with so many barriers and stigma.
I guess reflecting on some of your experiences working with people who have been part of the prison system here in Canada, what would you change about Canada's current system? Or what would some things that you would do to make it more kind of humane?
You mean in terms of community corrections or in the institution?
I guess maybe a little bit of both. Like what do you see in Canada's, I guess, correction service as a whole would you like to change to make things better for the people that are part of that system?
Well, just like I talked about, rather than focusing on, you know, the recidivism and the negative parts of prisoners' life, you know, why not really look at some of the positives? Rarely do we have media attend, you know, come to St. Leonard's House where we can interview and talk about some of the positive things that are going on there. It's normally if there's an incident, you know, that it gets media attention. So in terms of, I don't know if it's just one system or a system of, you know, as a whole, society's views, that we need to understand that, you know, people need hope. People need that kind of support. People don't strive with deprivation and survival mode. They need that support and ongoing encouragement in order to make change, and I don't know if the system necessarily does that. So it's sort of a systemic problem in society.
I guess for listeners out who are listening today, how would you what advice would you give for people who are looking to support prisoners, like from the outside?
Well, try to, I guess, understanding, you know, get some information. Rather than believing in the media's views, you know, talk to people who are actually dealing with offenders and who are helping them reestablish their lives, because they can maybe help you see a broader perspective. Don't be so quick to judge. You know, keep an open mind, and I think that's what inspires hope. It's very simple.
I guess before we go, is there anything else you wanted to share with the listeners today?
I just really hope that people hear this message. This is a wonderful event here that's taking place in the heart of downtown Toronto. Just open your heart to some of the challenges that go on, you know, with people who are trying to make changes. People make mistakes. The bottom line is people, they pay the price. They are removed from society, but then the day comes where they need to reestablish their lives. So we hope that people can open their hearts to that understanding as well.
We were actually asked by Gary if we wanted to attend to provide some information either to friends and family of people that are inside now, if they potentially wanted to apply to us, or people that are working within other organizations that are working within prisons, if they come across inmates that would like to apply to us, they are able to take information and our questionnaire along with them, and then they can fill it out and send it back to us.
I was wondering maybe if you could give a background to what the Innocence Project does and how people have used it here in Canada.
Well, like I said, we're a student-run organization under the supervision of two lawyers, Diane Martin and Chris Sharon, who's our acting director. We take applications from usually people that are actually in prison presently, or sometimes from people that are have served their sentence and would like to still clear their name or to apply for compensation for what they've suffered. What else can I tell you? We started in 97. We're not funded by the university. The only funding we get is anything that we can get from the public. We've worked on a number of cases. We worked on the Romeo Filion case, which was in the news just recently. He's just been granted bail, and we were instrumental in forwarding his application to the Minister of Justice, and it's presently being reviewed by the minister, and we're hoping that he will either receive an exoneration from the minister or a new trial. What else can I tell you? That you want? Is that good enough?
Well, I guess you mentioned it there, but you gave a background, or a little bit of a background of Romeo Filion. I was wondering if you could maybe give a little bit more information about some of his experiences of how he was a falsely accused person, and how, I guess, more specifics of what he was doing.
Romeo Filion was convicted in 1972. Of a murder that occurred in Ottawa, of an Ottawa firefighter. He, at the time, confessed to the murder under pressure from the police. He was picked up for another crime that completely unrelated. It was a robbery of a taxi cab driver in downtown Ottawa. At the time, he confessed, and he later, or very quickly, recanted his confession, but the recantation was ignored. He was convicted in 1972, and he's consistently maintained his innocence since then. He came to the Innocence Project in 97, I believe, and we started working on his case in 98 or 99. New evidence was discovered, and that completely or almost completely exonerates him. It proves that he wasn't even in Ottawa at the time of the murder, and that is what we based our application to the Minister of Justice on.
How is it difficult for people who are within Canada's prison system to, I guess, fight for their rights within, their legal rights within the prisons? For example, somebody like Romeo, who finds himself in as a falsely accused person within the prison system, how is it difficult for them to mobilize on their own to get legal support?
Well, obviously they don't have any funds to pay lawyers, and an organization like ours, we don't require any payment, obviously, because we're a volunteer organization. It's often difficult for them to have access to their own information. For example, Romeo did actually make an application to the Privacy Commission to receive all of the information that they had on his case, and he wasn't provided with all of the information. And as you can imagine, being within prison, they don't have the opportunity to go in person and demand this information, and if they don't have funds to pay lawyers to go and try and retrieve it for them, it's very difficult for them to get that information. From our perspective, that would be probably the most difficult thing.
Do you think that because of those difficulties, a lot of people who are innocent within our prison system get lost within that system?
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. That's why we would like to attend things such as Prisoners Justice Day, because it gets our name out and it shows them that there is someone that they can come to that will try their best to help.
I guess reflecting on some of your own experiences working with people who have been part of the prison system trying to fight for their own legal rights, what would you change within the prison system to make it easier for that to happen?
I think that there needs to be more... It needs to be more open to prisoners that there are avenues for them to pursue. I think that once people get inside, no one tells them that there are organizations such as ours that they can go to. I think they feel once they get in there that they're completely cut off from the outside and information isn't disseminated within the prison. I think that they're actually often the prison works to keep information from them.
How can people who are listening support those who are falsely accused in Canadian prisons?
Oh, gee.
Like, what are some ways that some projects that people can be involved in to help support those that are working for their legal rights within prisons?
I'm not too sure that I can give you much of an answer to that. I don't. We don't really. I mean, certainly they can contact organizations like AIDWIC, the Association for the In Defense of the Wrongly Accused, and they might be able to point them in the direction of organizations they can work with. But that's not really something that we're involved with.
We just mainly
work on specific cases.
Is there anything else you'd wanted to share with the listeners before we leave?
Did you want our contact information, like our phone number or anything? It's the Innocence Project at Osgoode Hall, 4700 Keele Street, Toronto, Ontario. And the phone number is 416-736-5174.
Thank you.
I'm Patricia Mays, and I'm here with about 10 or 11 of our guys from Serenity House in Guelph.
Oh, okay.
And that's a nonprofit grassroots recovery house for people that are coming out of jail and coming off the streets with alcohol and drug addiction.
So why are you involved in Prisoner Justice Day today?
Well, a lot of our guys come out of the institutions to us, and they do art, and so I come down here and I bring them down, and they bring their art, and they have solidarity for everybody in prison that is there for one reason or another, that there be wholeness and peace and recovery and wellness and all that stuff that it takes to start building your life again from nothing, you know, when you've lost everything, your respect and everything. So my guys come down in solidarity for all their brothers and sisters who are still in there, and they're out. You know, they've come out through the court system or through a conditional sentence to the house where they're trying to rebuild their lives again. So that's why I'm down here to support.
Through some of your own experiences, what have been some of the difficulties that you've seen people who've come out of the prison system, how have they have had difficulty once they've left? What are some of the kind of things
that
you've seen?
For starters off, being free is a difficulty because they've lost everything in the interim of being incarcerated, and they come out and they have no money, so they need to go to the welfare office and get a startup or welfare, but then they got to start to annex and figure out where they're going to live and how they're going to do it. And that's one of the things about Serenity House. When they come in, they're safe. You know what I mean? They're amongst other men. They're safe. They get to land there and they get to do nothing for about a month except go to meetings and try to rebuild some structure. And then they look around their life from there, and then we figure out, they get in touch with their families. Everything is severed when you go into jail, in my opinion. You know, even though your family's still standing by you, you have to rebuild trust, you have to rebuild everything. And so when they come out to us, they're pretty broken. And they're accustomed to the us against them attitude, which sometimes is in prisons because, you know, the COs, I used to volunteer at the correctionals there in Guelph for the NAA meeting, so the COs are considered the enemy, and we get away with what we can, and we stay together, and we keep six, and we're brotherhood and all that. And then they come out in the world, and everybody else is still in there. You know, so they have to have something to build on. And so we try to give them the recovery, because they went in because of something they did while under the influence of drugs or alcohol, usually. And we try to help them by starting to abstain from that and then build them back into the community with respect, you know, with some sense of dignity. Because it's from what they tell me, you know, I've only been in jail once myself overnight, but from what they tell me, you know, it can become a way of life in there. They can get so used to it that it just works for them and it's okay. And they don't want that, you know. They want to be out here. They want to be whole and they want to be free again. Not free from the jail cell, but free from the bondage of their own stuff that got them in there. And that's probably what we work on most, along with all the other organizations, you know, is trying to help them.
For people who might be listening now, how can they work to support those that might be coming out of prison systems?
Probably just to accept them. Probably just to not hold up their misendeavors at them as though that's who they are, because that's not who they are. That's what they did, but that's not who they are. We're all equal. We're all children of God, and there's no such thing as a bad person. There's good people that do bad things. There's no such thing as a bad person, I don't believe. Now, this is only my opinion. So I would say accept them. I would say, you know, give them a chance. I would say hurt people, and, you know, if we can get them so they're not hurting themselves anymore, maybe they'll stop hurting their communities and their families. That's the only thing I got to say on that, because it's the only thing I know that they can do. I don't know what else they can do.
Accept
them, you know, love them in spite of the fact that they've done things that are unlovable, because it's really the unlovable that need to love more, you know. And when you've done crime and you've gone to prison and you've gone down on the scale that you believe society has, and then you come out, where do you start? You know, you got to start from somewhere. So hope is the first thing, and acceptance, and then you build the trust, and then you become another member of society that's productive, and then you carry on. That's all I can say. I don't know what else to say about that.
Okay. Before we go, is there anything else that you wanted to share with the listeners today?
Just that we're not people who have served time and done crimes or things against society while under the influence of some mind-altering substance are not bad people. They got to get good, but they're sick people that got to get well, so they need to see them as people needing help.
Do you want to start just to introduce yourself and a little bit about your involvement today in the celebration at Holy Trinity for Prisoners Justice Day?
Mm-hmm. My name is Yuri, and I'm one of the members of the Bridge program. It is a program for the prisoners who's going out on from the prisons to join society, and we are providing those people information and support as much as we can, so it will be safe transition back into the community. So today we here to support this event, Prisoners Justice Day, and I'm here.
And how did you get involved with the Bridge Ministry?
Through my own personal trials and tribulations, I can say, through my own personal issues, and I reached out to people and dealing with my own challenges. I got involved in the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went. I started to talk with people. I was introduced. I was invited to become a part of. And it is great, né, because by helping others and supporting, I found myself in the place where I was emotionally more stable and spiritually stronger, you know. So that's how I got involved in the bridge.
Right. What is the importance of the kind of work that you do in terms of transitioning people who have been in prison back into the community?
The importance is to develop awareness of those who is thinking that they're alone, they're on their own, and nobody is there to help them. And even though many of them knows that there's help, they think that they're worthless and they couldn't, they're judging themselves and they think that they're not worth of being helped, you know?
Mm.
And to develop this self-esteem, make them aware of the society, of the ways of human relationships, and I don't know, it's a... so much, I like to say, and I couldn't, say to you like in a couple words, you know. I love this. So the most important part is to tell prisoners that they are welcome to the society and there is help available, and they can be a part of it and enjoy life together.
What do you think today, being Prisoners Justice Day, we here at the radio station are broadcasting all day, talking about various issues within Canadian prisons and remembering prisoners who have died in Canadian prisons. And what do you see as being some important things that you'd like the community to know about prisoners who are trying to come out and trying to reintegrate into the community? There seems to be a great lack of knowledge in this area. What do you think is important for people in the community to be thinking about today?
I think it is important to know that those people in the prison who made mistakes and bad decisions and they are they wanna reach out, but I just wanna say that community has to go there inside and educate and reach out and to those people, and no matter what is the reaction will be from the prisoners individually, no matter what, every input will plant a seed in every prisoner inside, and basically they will see there is people who care about the outside and in the society and who care about them. I want society to know that they are welcome. Welcome to go to the prisons, and no matter what will be the reaction from the prisoners. It is another opportunity, another connection,
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for speaking with me today, Yuri.